Hello, this is Dr. Phil Fernandez, the founder of the Institute of Biblical Defense and the academic dean of Farrison Theological Seminary. Today's lecture is Theology Lecture Number 17. Theology Lecture Number 17, The Doctrine of Angels. The Doctrine of Angels. This is also known as Angelology. Angelology, The Doctrine of Angels. What we're going to look at is pertaining to angels, their origin, their nature, then we're going to discuss good angels, and then we'll move on to fallen angels or demonology, the doctrine of demons. So the origin of angels, their nature, and then good angels. Angelology, the doctrine of angels, their origin. First off, they were created by God. Angels were created by God. Psalm 148, verses 1 to 5. Psalm 148, verses 1 to 5. And that reads, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all stars of light. Praise Him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created." So there in that passage it states that the angels, among the rest of creation, were created by God. So the angels were created by God. Their origin, they were created by God. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. And that reads, "For by Him," that's Christ, "for by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by Him and for Him." And we're going to learn later in this study that when they talk about the angelic beings, they often describe them as being thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities. And of course, they're in heaven and they're in the invisible realm. So their origin, angels are created by God. What does this tell us? This tells us that they are not eternal. They are not eternal. They had a beginning. Only God is eternal. Only God has no beginning and no end. But God created angels. And so angels are not eternal. The time of their creation. The time of their creation. When were angels created? Look at Job chapter 38. The Old Testament book of Job, chapter 38, verses 4 to 7. God is speaking and He's talking to Job and He states this, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who set its measurements, since you know? Or who stretched the line on it? On what was it, were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" We're going to learn that the sons of God and the morning stars are different names for angels. And so while God was laying the foundations of the earth, while God was creating the earth, the angels were already created by that point. "For the angels sang for joy." Therefore, the time of their creation, the angels were created by God, the time of their creation was before the creation of the earth. Before the creation of the earth. Now, what was the purpose of their creation? Why did God create angels? What was the purpose of their creation? Look at Revelation chapter 4. The last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. And that reads, "Worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they existed and were created." because of God's will, they existed and were created. But look what it says. Worthy art thou, O Lord, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. You see, the purpose of all creation is to glorify God. The purpose of all creation is to glorify God. Therefore, the purpose for the creation of angels is also to glorify God. The origin of angels, they were created by God. The time of their creation was before the creation of the earth. The purpose of their creation was to glorify God. And the fourth thing that we need to mention, the fourth and final thing that we need to mention about angels and their origin is that they do not reproduce. They do not reproduce. Look at Matthew chapter 22 and verse 30. Matthew 22 and verse 30. Jesus Christ is talking about men and women after the resurrection, when they receive their glorified bodies, when we receive our glorified bodies, whether or not we will reproduce. And Jesus Christ says that we will not. Verse 28, he says, Matthew 22, verse 28, in the resurrection, therefore, whose wife of the seven shall she be? For they all had her. In that passage there, they're talking about seven brothers, each marrying a woman, and each of them die. And then Jesus Christ says in verse 29 and 30, but Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken, not understanding the scriptures or the power of God, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And so the angels in heaven do not reproduce. The angels do not reproduce and have offspring. Therefore, when the angels were created by God, they were all created at once. Whereas with man, when man was created by God, God created Adam and Eve, and then from them came all the rest of mankind. God created Adam from the dust of the ground, breathed life into his nostrils, and then formed Eve from Adam's side. Angelology, the doctrine of angels, the origin of angels, created by God, they're not eternal. The time of their creation was before the creation of the earth. The purpose of their creation was to glorify God, and they do not reproduce. Number two, their nature, the nature of angels. What are they like? The nature of angels. Number one, they are spirit beings. They are spirit beings. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet? Are they not all ministering spirits, sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? But it refers to angels as ministering spirits. You see, angels are spirit beings. Angels are spirit beings. Number two, they are invisible, but do at times take a visible form. They are invisible, but do at times take a visible form. Look at 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verses 15 to 17. 2 Kings 6 verses 15 to 17. Now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, a mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Now, basically, what's going on, transpiring here is the enemies were gathering for battle against the prophet of God and his servant, and then God allowed the servant of Elisha to see all the invisible angels that were protecting them. So angels are invisible spirit beings, but they do at times take a visible form. You find them also in the book of Genesis taking a visible form, taking some type of temporary bodily form, and even eating food and spending time with Abraham. So the angels are spirit beings that are invisible, but they do at times take a visible form. They are innumerable. They are innumerable. Hebrews 12, verse 22. Hebrews 12 and verse 22. And that reads, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels." Myriads of angels, an expression of the Jews, just basically to show that the angels are innumerable. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11. Revelation 5, verse 11. "And I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands." And again, it's just an expression the same to say that they are innumerable, more than anyone could count. Now these angels, they're innumerable, they're invisible spirit beings who do at times take visible form, but they have personality. They have personality. In other words, they have intelligence, will, and emotions. They have personality. They have intelligence. Look at Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, verses 21 and 22. Daniel 9, verses 21 and 22. And that reads, "While I was still speaking in prayer, then the man Gabriel," that's the angel Gabriel, "whom I had seen in the vision previously, came to me in my extreme weariness about the time of the evening offering. And he gave me instruction and talked with me and said, 'O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you insight with understanding.'" So they have intelligence. Angels have intelligence. Look at Daniel chapter 10 and verse 14. "Now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet future." And this is, again, one of the angels speaking to Daniel. Not only do angels have intelligence, but they have will. They have will, which also shows that they have personality. They have will. Jude, verses 6 and verse 9. Verse 6. "And angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the not to keep." So they chose not to keep their own domain, but abandon it. Verse 9, "But Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" You see, the will of Michael the archangel pitted against the will of Satan, also an angelic being. So they have personality, they have intelligence, they have will, and they have emotion. They have emotion. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. "It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you in these things, which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look." So they have desire. They desire to look into and find out the secrets, the mysteries of God's grace and God's salvation for man. So angels have emotion. They have desire. They also have the emotion of joy. Look at Luke chapter 15. The Gospel of Luke chapter 15 and verse 10. Luke 15 and verse 10. "In the same way I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." So whenever someone gets saved, the angels rejoice in heaven. And so the angels have personality. They have intelligence, will, and emotion. Another thing about the nature of angels, they are presently superior to man. They are presently superior to man. They are stronger than man. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. They are presently stronger than man. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Whereas angels who are greater in might and power do not bring a reviling judgment against them before the Lord. So it's talking about angels who are greater in might and power. They're superior to man. They're stronger than man. They're smarter than man. That Daniel chapter 9 verses 21 and 22 and chapter 10 verse 14, there angels were giving Daniel, we read those passages a little earlier, they were giving information, insight, and understanding and wisdom to Daniel, which he himself did not have, because they are presently smarter or more intelligent than man. And they are swifter than man. They are swifter than man. Look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 19. Luke chapter 1 and verse 19. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And so the angel comes to announce the birth of John the Baptist. And the angel says that I'm Gabriel, I stand in the presence of God, but then I've been sent to speak to you here on earth. Now they're talking about traveling at a tremendously high rate of speed, probably traveling at the speed of thought. So they're much swifter than men. Daniel 9:21, angels coming from the presence of God to earth to speak to Daniel. So they're much, much swifter than mankind, traveling, like I say, probably at the speed of thought. They're in God's presence and they say, I want to be in the location where Daniel is, and boom, they're there. So the angels, they're presently superior to man, presently stronger, smarter, and swifter than man. Now take a look at 1 Corinthians 6:3. 1 Corinthians 6:3. This is why I stated that they're presently superior to man, but that I'm just leaving it at that, because I don't know if we should really go any further with it, other than to say that there is a strong possibility that man is going to be greater, more superior to angels. In fact, the scripture seems to strongly imply that men will someday be higher than the angels. 1 Corinthians 6:3. Paul's telling that believers that we should not bring another believer before a non-believing judge. And that he says believers should judge one another. And then in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 6, he says, do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more matters of this life? But Paul says the day is going to come when we're going to judge the angels. And it seems to imply that man is going to be superior to angels at some time. And then Romans 8:29 may give us some more insight into this mystery. Romans 8:29, and it says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Obviously, Jesus Christ, though he became for a little while lower than the angels when he assumed the role of becoming a man, now in his glorified state, obviously, he is above the angels. Yet here it says that we're going to be conformed to the image of God's Son. So this may be why we will someday judge angels. So angels are presently superior to man. However, the scripture seems to strongly imply that the day will come when men will be superior to angels. In fact, the Jewish rabbis, even before Christ walked the earth, they speculated that that was why Lucifer fell. Because he did not want to serve an inferior being like man, who he knew would someday be superior to him. And so he did not want to help them along in that process. Though angels are presently superior to man, They are inferior to God. They are inferior to God. Number one, they're not omnipresent. Take a look at Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. The Old Testament book of Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. And that reads, Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. You see, the angel came from the location of heaven into Daniel's presence. In other words, the angel was not omnipresent. The angel would have to move from one location to another rather than being everywhere at one time. The angels are not omnipotent. They're not all-powerful. Angels are not omnipotent. They're not all-powerful. They have different degrees of power. Look at Jude, verse 9. Jude, verse 9. Once again, the passage of Michael the archangel not being willing to lock horns with Lucifer. But Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Obviously, Lucifer can't lock horns with God, yet Michael the archangel, Michael the highest angel, the highest good angel, is not even willing to lock horns with Lucifer himself. They're not omnipotent. They're not all-powerful. Daniel 10:13, this angel is speaking, and he says, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. So some high demon of Lucifer was holding back this angel for 21 days. Then behold, Michael the archangel, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia." So apparently Lucifer and his demons are very extremely organized, and they have certain demons that are actually the actual kings of nations that actually influence the decisions of the kings of nations. And here this one high demon of Satan withhold the angel, kept him from getting the message to Daniel for 21 days, but then finally Michael the archangel came and aided this angel in getting the message to Daniel. But this shows that angels are not omnipotent. They're not all-powerful. And thirdly, angels are not omniscient. Angels are not omniscient. They do not know everything. Look at Matthew chapter 24, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. This is called the Olivet Discourse on the Mount of Olives, where Jesus Christ will return to the planet Earth. Jesus Christ talked about the tribulation period and the end times. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36. Jesus Christ is speaking and he says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone." So the angels are not omniscient. They are not all-knowing. Now the Son himself, he is all-knowing, but the kenosis, when he voluntarily laid aside his privilege to use certain divine attributes, he chose not to use his omniscience, but to rely on whatever the Father would reveal to him. And so Jesus had access to his omniscience, his all knowledge, but chose not to use it on this occasion, whereas the angels of heaven do not have omniscience. They're not all knowing. So the angels are spirit beings. They're invisible, but do at times take visible form. They're innumerable. They have personality, intelligence, will, and emotion. They're presently superior to man, yet they are inferior to God. Their test. Now let's talk about their test here. This is still under the category of their nature. They were created perfect, but they had free will. They were created perfect, but they had free will. How do we know they were created perfect? Genesis 1:31, the final verse of Genesis 1 says that God looked upon everything that he created and said that it was good. When man says something's good, we mean it's, you know, half and half, it's pretty good. But when God says something's good, he means it is perfect. So the angels, they were created perfect but had free will. And apparently one-third of the angels rebelled with Satan. One-third of the angels rebelled with Satan. Take a look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 4. Though this does not talk about the rebellion, but it talks about when they will be kicked out of heaven halfway through the tribulation period, Revelation chapter 12, verse 4, it does say how many of the angels, though, have allied themselves with Lucifer. It's talking about the dragon, who is referred to in verse 9 as the devil and Satan, Revelation chapter 12, and his Revelation 12, verse 4, and his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. It's talking about the birth of the Messiah, Satan trying to destroy him through Herod the king. But it says that he swept away a third of the stars of heaven. Lucifer swept away a third of the stars from heaven. Now, when you look at verse 9, it tells you what those stars are. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who was called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And so their test, they were created perfect, but had free will, and apparently one-third of the angels rebelled with Lucifer. One-third of the angels rebelled and sided with Lucifer and joined him in his rebellion against God. Now, Revelation 19:10 tells us that even the good angels we should not worship. We should not even worship the good angels. A good angel comes and gives a message to John, and this is what happens. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said to me, "Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So we should not worship angels. We talked about the origin angels, the origin of angels, and we talked about their nature. Now let's talk about some of the good angels. The only two good angels that are mentioned in the Bible by name is Michael the Archangel, and Gabriel. Michael the Archangel and Gabriel. Michael's name, his name means who is like God. The E-L at the end. Remember El? One of the names for God, and one of the Hebrew names for God. Well, the E-L means God in it, but his name means who is like God. Michael means who is like God. He is called the Archangel in Jude 9, which means the top angel. Now, because he refused to lock horns with Lucifer, that tells us that Lucifer himself was probably the highest creation of God, was probably a higher angel than Michael himself. So Lucifer was probably the archangel, and once he got removed from God's favor, then Michael became the archangel. But he's called the archangel, the top angel. Some believe he is the only archangel. Others believe that there are a few archangels, and he's one of them, the only one named. Michael the Archangel is mentioned four times in the Bible. Four times in the Bible. In Daniel chapter 10, verses 13 and 21, he helps another angel answer Daniel's prayer. So in Daniel 10, verses 13 and 21, Michael the Archangel helps another angel answer Daniel's prayer. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, Michael the Archangel defends Israel during the tribulation period. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, Michael the Archangel defends Israel during the tribulation period. A passage that we read twice already, Jude verse 9, Michael the Archangel disputes with Satan. Jude verse 9, Michael the Archangel disputes with Satan over the body of Moses. We're not given all the details on this, but we are told that he had a dispute with Michael the Archangel over the body of Moses in Jude 9, and that he chose not to lock horns with Satan. He chose not to battle him himself, but simply said, "The Lord rebuke you." And in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, halfway through the tribulation period, he fights Satan in the heavenly realm. He fights Satan and his angels in the heavenly realm. Michael the archangel joins with the good angels and fights Satan in the heavenly realm and casts Satan and his angels from heaven. Look at Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7 to 9. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels waged war. And they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who was called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And a little later we see that once he gets thrown down to the earth, he persecutes the woman, which is the nation of Israel, for 3.5 years, and that's the last half of the tribulation period. So that's Michael the archangel. By the way, good angels are angels that serve God. Demons or bad angels are those angels that choose to rebel against God. Michael the archangel, we talked about him. Gabriel is the only other good angel whose name is mentioned in the scriptures, and his name means the mighty one of God. Whereas Michael meant who is like God, Gabriel means the mighty one of God. His name is mentioned at least 7 times in the Bible. 7 times in the Bible. Twice in Daniel, where he gives Daniel 2 separate visions. One in the vision of the ram and goat in Daniel chapter 8, verse 16, and the vision of the 70 weeks in Daniel chapter 9, verse 21. Gabriel is mentioned twice in the Gospel of Luke. Twice in the Gospel of Luke. One to announce the birth of John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1, verse 19. And once to announce the birth of Jesus in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. So he's mentioned, Gabriel's name is mentioned twice in Daniel and twice in Luke, but also 3 times in Matthew. 3 times in Matthew, where he speaks to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, and in Matthew chapter 2, verse 19. So he's mentioned twice in Daniel, twice in Luke, and 3 times in Matthew. Now it's stated in Luke chapter 1, verse 19, that he is one of the 7 angels who stands in the presence of God. Luke chapter 1, verse 19. In fact, let's read that real quick. The Gospel of Luke chapter 1 and verse 19. Luke chapter 1 and verse 19. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. So he says, I'm one of the angels who stands in the presence of God, and my name is Gabriel. Now compare that with Revelation chapter 8, verse 2, and it says, and I saw the 7 angels who stand before God, and 7 trumpets were given to them. So the 7 trumpets of the book of Revelation were given to the 7 angels who stand before God. Well, Gabriel says he stands in the presence of God. This tells us that he is one of the 7 angels, and therefore he's going to be one of the angels who blows one of the 7 trumpets in the book of Revelation. Now because Michael the archangel is mentioned as defending Israel during the tribulation period, and in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 it says that the archangel will blow the trumpet when Christ returns, it may be that the 7th trumpet, I'm a post-tribber, pre-tribbers would disagree with me on this, but it may be that the 7th trumpet, which announces the second coming of Christ, which I believe is the rapture of the church, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it may be that Michael the archangel is the one who blows the 7th trumpet, which means that Gabriel may be one of the other 6 trumpets, may blow one of the other 6 trumpets. However, some have Gabriel also as an archangel and blowing one of the other trumpets. It is possible that Gabriel might be another archangel, and that Michael and Gabriel are 2 of the 7 archangels, or it is also possible that Michael the archangel is the only archangel and but he still may be one of the seven angels that stands before the presence of God. So that's Michael and Gabriel. Then there's other groups of angels that are mentioned in the scriptures. There are the cherubim. The cherubim mentioned in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. They are stationed there by God with fiery swords to see to it that no one enters into the Garden of Eden after God has cast Adam and Eve out. They're mentioned in Exodus chapter 25, 18 to 20. They're on the mercy seat, which is on top of the lid to the Ark of the Covenant, which the Jews would keep in the Holy of Holies in their tabernacle and eventually in their temple, where the tablets of the law and Aaron's rod are kept. Well, there's cherubim made out of gold, I believe, on top of the mercy seat, which is on the Ark of the Covenant. Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 4 to 28, Ezekiel has a vision of something that looks like a UFO, and it's also in chapter 10, verses 1 to 22 of Ezekiel. It sounds like a UFO landing, and in actuality they're referred to as cherubim. Cherubim, a type of angel. These angels may be some type of duty protecting, possibly protecting the holiness of God. Then there's the seraphim, mentioned in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. The seraphim. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. Other groups of angels that are mentioned are the living creatures, mentioned in Revelation chapter 4, verses 6 to 9. Revelation 5, 8, and Revelation 6, 1 to 7. Then there's ruling angels. Ruling angels. So there's cherubim, seraphim, living creatures, and ruling angels. Mentioned in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21, Ephesians 3, 10, Colossians 1, 16, Colossians 2, 10, and 1 Peter 3, verse 22. They're referred to, these ruling angels are referred to as principalities, powers, thrones, authorities, dominions, and might. Ruling angels are referred to as principalities, powers, thrones, authorities, dominions, and might. And then there are also guardian angels mentioned in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10, and Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. Hebrews 1 verse 14, guardian angels. So different types of angels, different groups of angels, cherubim, seraphim, living creatures, ruling angels, such as principalities, powers, thrones, authorities, dominions, and might, and guardian angels. And then there's also different names and titles of angels. They're referred to as ministers or servants in Psalm 104, verse 4. This talks of their spiritual service. They're referred to as hosts, Joshua 5:14, which talks of their military service. They're talked of as chariots in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 16 to 17. Talks about their swiftness, especially in regards to combat. They're called watchers in Daniel 4, verses 13 and 17, talking about their supervisory work. They're called the sons of God. Only in the Old Testament are the angels referred to as sons of God. In Job chapter 1, verse 6, and Job 2, verse 1. They're called the sons of the mighty. Psalm 29:1, speaking of their strength. They're called the holy ones in Zechariah 14:5, and they're called stars, which refers to their number, that the fact that they're innumerable, and their brightness. They're called stars in Job 38:7 and Revelation 12 verses 3 and 4. And finally, when we talk of good angels, we need to discuss their destiny. Their destiny. They will continue on with believers and God on into eternity. They will continue on with believers and God on into eternity. They will share heaven with believers and with the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the doctrine of angels. We talked about their origin, their nature. We talked about good angels and their destiny. Our next lecture, we'll talk about fallen angels, demons. Thank you, and God bless you.